Welcome to episode 11 of the One Was Had a Dream podcast. My name's Lee Finch, as ever, and tonight I'm going to be joined by Danny Baker and James Bruce. We're going to be discussing the defeats to Wigan and Palace under-23s in the Pizza Trophy. We're going to then discuss an honest question of, do we think the club are capable of organising the club professionally? And are you confident of those in charge? And then we're going to talk about the Ryman Premier League final, that game at Staines. So, hello, boys. How are we?
Good, thank you, mate. How are you?
Very well. Very well, thank you.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Evening. Danny's had an haircut. It looks horrendous. Well, but
okay, quick story. Went to get my haircut. Go to the normal place. It's a nice place. I think they're Kurdish. They do all the beard thing. And I went to the bloke and said, oh, where's the normal guy who does the hair? And he basically sort of shrugged his shoulders and started basically giving me a buzz cut. So I was like, no, just short on the side and a bit spiky. And then another guy came in and said, oh, the old guy, he's been arrested for 5 years. So this is the new guy. And I was like, right. So hence why I'm a little bit shorter on top, but still very smart.
That's a bit, I'd take the piss out of people with hair, and I've got none myself. It's quite funny. On Saturday, I was giving a couple of the Wigan players stick for their hairdos, and then I always wear caps so they can't see that I've got none. So,
oh, yeah, that's so clever from you.
Very clever, very clever. Well, as we said there, let's talk about Wigan. I'll start with Wigan, if you don't mind, boys, because I thought the result was pretty bad. But I had a really good day. I went on the stadium tour. So I did the stadium
right,
tour.
Good?
Really good, really good. Our tour guide was called Pat. And we all know the history. We know all the history through the years, don't we? We're Wimbledon fans, but I took my boy as well. He's 12. He don't obviously know it all. He don't know the AFC Wimbledon history either. The City Shield days, the Ryman One days, the Premier, like winning the Staines and stuff that we're going to talk about later. And it was brilliant. It was really, really good. You get to go on the like near the pitch. You get to go in the dugouts. Weren't meant to go in the dressing rooms, but Robin Beckford was there and me and him are old friends. So he said, go on in. So you know, innit? So you know. But he weren't allowed to take pictures. Weren't allowed to take pictures because obviously Bartley was on the bench then, so I didn't think they wanted anything going out. So it was fine.
How long did it take, Lee?
It was an hour's tour, and wow. it was just brilliant. It was all about the history of when we the museum. Went to the museum, which is brilliant. You see some of the signed stuff and Vinny's medals sitting pride of place. And there was a couple of YouTubers. One of them was a Serbian YouTuber that were doing videos as well. My boy knew it.
A Serbian.
There's one called The Poet or something, and then this Serbian YouTuber. And I didn't have a clue who they were.
No, I don't know any Serbian YouTubers.
Well, they said, oh, Lee. And I said, yeah. Do you, like, and they went, you're the one who's had a dream. I was like, yeah, I mean, boys. But they didn't really do that. But my boy knew who they were. I didn't have a clue. But yeah, the tour, I recommend it to anyway. It's £10
for adults. How much is it? £10, is it?
£10 adults, £3 for children. It's an hour, and it is amazing. It really is a good, but yeah, that was. Oh, and my boy, after the game, we stood around for a little while as we come out, and all the players were coming in. And it's quite weird with our, you know, when you watch professional football, I know I'm rattling on now, and I'll let you two speak.
Carry on, really, 1 hour. Fine.
Yeah, yeah. And you expect the players just to come off the coach or something, don't you? Or something to happen. Like they just wander in off the streets. They don't park up anywhere. They just walk down the road past the pet shop. In they come, in their shorts and stuff, like their casual shorts. And they just walk in. My boy's like, oh, look, there's Luke McCormick. I was like, oh, look, have a photo of my boy and all that. And he got photos with pretty much all of them.
That's the problem, though. Little's only got 2 hours, isn't it? So that's the problem.
Yeah. Well, some of them deliberately want to be subbed off, you know what I mean? So they can get back to their car. But
James, yeah, is the tour on your Christmas list, James?
Oh, I'd love to. I'm going to wait till my kids are a little bit older and then bring them down. They've got to do the whole stadium stuff. At the moment, the train journey's too long. They're too little. But it will be, certainly.
Yeah, it is decent. I recommend it to everyone who's a Wimbledon fan, who is not a Wimbledon fan. Go and do it. It is really good, and we loved it. But, yeah, the game, I didn't enjoy that as much. So you two can talk about that.
Go on, Jay, you've gone far us off.
Yeah, well, I mean, they were just better, weren't they? We all thought it before. We looked at our team, we looked at their team, and just thought, oh, dear. We put up a good fight in the first half, although that's forgetting that we had two off the line, you know, with a bit of last-ditch defending. And then when they wanted to, they just came and they just steamrolled us. The first goal was a bit, you know, nothing when it of Paul Callum by. But, yeah, you just got the impression they were like a couple of teams we played this season who could have just swept us aside when they wanted to. We put up a good fight. But the problem was we didn't have anything off the bench. When the most excited player you've got on the bench is a right-back, we didn't feel like, you know, talk about these finishers. You know, you didn't think there was much to finish with there.
I would start
me on speaking finishers. Of finishers, we don't have any finishers, let's be honest. I mean, James, you're so right. I did say last week it was a free hit, and I felt that the whole thing, I know you hate a free hit, Lee, I know it annoys you, but the most of the public will back me here. The guys try their best. Nobody, I thought, I know, like James said, in terms of quality, we weren't there, but I don't think there were many people, and there hasn't been all year, actually, that I thought, mate, you've not put the effort in. They put the effort in, they ran around. Presley ran his heart out, didn't have much quality, got the odd knockdown, but in general just didn't ever penetrate. And I was, to be honest, at 2-0, we kept fighting, considering the biggest loss, I thought, from Saturday wasn't the game, it was obviously PK. So Kalambai struggling, I thought the game, losing the game didn't particularly bother me, but losing another player for a very, very long amount, was it 3 months, is a massive issue.
Three things annoyed me about the game. Not about the game, but the first one is why the club are now using finishers instead of substitutes. I know it's Robbo's process and Robbo's, he loves it, but that's in-house. Good. The management can use it. Why are we now ramming that down people's throats? It's substitutes. I'm an old-school football fan. Most people are. It's substitutes. The second thing that annoyed me is James McLean should have been sent off and then he bangs in a goal. One, he should have had about four yellows. The foul on Luke McCormick is a horrendous foul and it wasn't even given as a free kick. The other guy elbows, I think it's the left back elbow someone, but because we're so honest, we didn't go down. I think it was Rudy he elbowed. That should have been a red card as well. And I get the point that they were much better than us. They're much better than us on Saturday, but it just shows the strength and depth that we got at the moment is literally so poor, so weak, as James has said about our subs, is that we have got no strength. If we had better strength and depth, we might have gone and got a point, or we might have won that game. With having no Ollie Palmer, with having no one like a Marsh or someone who can come on and change games, that's where we're going to struggle against the best teams. And this is why November is going to be a month that defines our season, I think.
Yeah. Having someone to bring on. So many times this season, the subs have worked because we've changed the striker, brought something new on. The first game brought on Presley and Mabude, really gave Bolton something to think about. As I said, when you've got no striking option to bring on, maybe if he's going to be serious about this whole finishes thing, you need to leave someone like Rudy or Asal or McCormick. When McCormick came on at Sheffield Wednesday, turned things around. But going back to Danny, you saying about, you know, we've not looked like we've not tried. That is a big difference under Robbo than in previous years, where we used to have players where you'd look at them and think, you do not care. You are really not trying. And no matter how badly we do now, I think the players get a lot more leeway from the fans just because they are definitely trying. They are definitely trying.
Yeah, 100%. Definitely, our players are definitely getting leeway. There's players that I'm not big fans of at the moment. As I said, as people, I think they're brilliant. I won't name no names. I've already put Facebook posts up there. I've been getting enough stick for that. But they are definitely getting leeway. They are liked because they are good people and they are giving 100% compared to some of our previous players. But yeah, I think the one that I've got now is January come up. We all talked that we need a striker, but now we need a centre-back as well. What position are you strengthening, the striker or the centre-back?
Striker, definitely.
Striker.
Who are we playing at centre-back then?
Well, Darius. I think we'll play Darius or Xhaka, or we can rotate Lawrence. We've got one forward.
I'm not. I don't want to be rude. I know we said we wouldn't jump in, but I know we're going to talk about Palace in a minute ago. But Darius is nowhere near the level. Darius has been brought in to be a mentor, to be someone around the dressing room. Yeah. He's not been brought in to play. So I'm not going to keep this Darius because I think he's brilliant, but he's nowhere near the level that we need in League One at the moment. Daniel Shocker's nowhere near it. So what are we going to do? Play one at the back with Paul Hennigan?
The question is, though...
Ben Hennigan. Paul Hennigan.
The question on this, and this is the crux of it, if Hennigan gets injured, we still have got two centre-backs at the club. If Ollie Palmer gets injured, we've got... Not Ollie Palmer. If Presley gets injured, we haven't got a forward in the entire professional football team. There's not one single forward who can play. I wanted to... Before you go over, Lee, just one other thing. I was with a mate of mine, Bully, how are you? He brought up a really interesting thing. I'm a big, big critic of Nesta. And I think in Nesta, there is a good football player somewhere in it. He, though, my mate, was basically slagging off a sow. And I at the time, I was like, shut up. But the more I'm thinking about it, when you see our right winger, which is basically Rodoni, Rodoni does do a lot of tracking back, right? Nine times out of 10, Assal drifts to a side. If he is on the left, he never tracks back, right? Or he might track back, but not nearly as far. And the goals are all from that left-hand side, and it has been an issue. So my question is, am I talking absolute nonsense and Nesta against Walker is clearly not as good as we should be, slash isn't probably it's our worst position, which I still think is the case, or does our current lineup hinder our left-hand side?
Both.
No, because the sale's brilliant, and even on Saturday when he was the one that was showing, he was the one that was going to do stuff, he was the one that was running them down, he was the one that was causing issues. I kind of get your point regarding defensively, but you watch the first goal, Nesta goes to take a touch and it's about 10 yards in front of them that they then get the ball and go and score.
Yeah.
So that is just basic defending that Nesta makes a mistake, which again, we've said before, I'm not going to crucify players for making honest mistakes because it happens and that's why they're League One footballers. The fact that people were tipping Nesta to go on to play in the Championship and possibly Premiership.
I've got that. I've never got it.
I think he's way off that and hopefully he'll improve and maybe go there one day. But yeah, he's about a year or two, same as Rodoni. The point, sorry, James, one step before we move on to yourself. The one point I want to make that we'll play to Robbo is having Bartley on the bench meant that he could then start the game against Palace, which I thought was very shrewd. But then I was looking and thinking, well, who else are we going to have on the bench? Is it time they start calling us up? Do you know what I mean? I still think I could do a job up front. But you say we haven't got strikers, Danny. We've got two strikers on loan who are banging goals in the conference. But we will
but we
not
haven't
record
got
him.
Them now, though, have we?
But and we won't record them.
Cosgrave not come back. Anyway, go on.
I'm listening to Nesta. If you played computer games, you sign him a computer game. He's a left wing back who can't play left back, and that's exactly what he is. He's good up and down. He's got good energy. He's got a nice cross on him, and he's all right. If there's three centre backs, I think he's. But as an out and out left back, he goes. You know, he leaves too big a gap. And as you're saying, if there's no left winger covering him. There is big gaps there, and he does make mistakes. Yes, Danny?
No, I totally agree with you, James, on that. I think that Nesta's brought in as a left wing back, and I don't think he suits a left back. It's annoying because I do think he really does try. And it's not, you don't, and again, this is like Jay said, this is why the squad, I think, gets a lot of lenience from fans, is that you can genuinely see that these pack of guys are running around and putting their heart and soul into it. And like I said, even though Nesta at the moment is, for this episode in particular, he's kind of a focal point. You can't say he's not tried. You can't say he's not putting the effort in. He gets up, he gets down. He's putting the effort all over the place. He's just a little bit light on quality. And he's not alone, to be honest with you. And that's the concern.
But he's not, he's a left back, but he's not a great defender. But going forward, that goal against Ipswich when he first started for us was brilliant.
Yeah.
He scored against Sheffield Wednesday, which was a great finish again. He knows how to finish when he's in the right position. But yeah, I still think that a 3-5-2 would possibly be our best formation. But Robbo's so scared of what happened with Wally Downs and Glyn Hodges, that he will not. Oh, mate, I can't
Did
get
you
any.
You say Ian Rodgers? Yeah,
Glyn. I said Glyn Rodgers for some reason, mate. I've got 100 names going through the head. That's why.
The thing is, also, we don't have three centre backs.
Well, now we don't know. Now we don't. But
we've barely got one.
I think if we had Will, Ben, and Paul Kay as the three centre backs, and you had Henry Lawrence right wing back and Nesta left wing back, you could then go from there. And but then you have to take a Woodyard or Hartigan out, and it's tricky. But
no, I think you then play Woodyard Hartigan. You only have two of Rodoni, Assal and McCormick, and you have
that's
one
it. That's the argument.
Like 5-4-1, 5-2-2-1.
Well, the one thing I've got to say about Prezi, I like Prezi again now, and I had to kind
of decided to like him now.
Well,
I
had to be nice.
To go back on what you said.
My boy wanted a photo with him on Saturday, and I said, "Hello, Aaron, you all right, mate? Big, well done this season. You're doing well. Can you take a photo of my boy?" And I didn't want him to recognise me and go, "Look, you baldy fuck." Like, no, I've heard what you said about me. And I doubt he ever listened.
Did you change your accent and speak?
Yeah,
posh,
just I go, "Hey, hello there, start talking Irish." And then, I didn't want to. But I thought he was good on Saturday. But the one thing that did make me laugh is his. Who remembers his header? It came across the box and he went ahead of it and it went back out to the corner flag and he went to flick it on. That's when I knew. I was like, this is it. This is over. And we left.
Yeah.
It's a shame because, like you said, personnel-wise, we kind of knew at the beginning of the year that we wanted to kind of... We were gambling in terms of the squad numbers and it's just a weird one that one of the things actually Ardley used to talk about was having money on the pitch. We spoke about it before.
Yeah.
And we haven't, our money is not on the pitch at the minute. A lot of our money is off it. And that's going to hurt.
Ardley always made sure he had four strikers.
Yeah.
They weren't always great, but they definitely had four of them.
But this is where the leniency is with the fans at the moment. Is before, people like Quezzy, Wordsworth, Pinnock, and all them were getting absolutely loads of stick. Quezzy got loads of stick. Quezzy signed autographs, photos for everyone, if you ever wanted one. He was a nice guy off the pitch. People called him a wage thief. People had a right go at the geezer.
No. You used to call him a wage thief.
I never really called him a wage thief. I just found his comment when Wally Dans got sacked a little bit off. And I will bring up any player that I think is being off, which I've done. But these players at the moment are getting leniency because they are giving 100%, and we can see a better performance on the pitch, and that's something Robbo's done. James, last point, and then we'll move on to the Palace game, because I've always been on forever.
To be fair to Quezzy, when he did come back for his FA Cup game, he did at least score and we won. He didn't do nothing and then go up at half time. Yeah. So, you know, give him his due.
And to be fair, Scott Wagstaff, he dyed his beard. So everyone won.
And got dropped.
What are you dyeing your beard, Lee?
Huh?
What are you dyeing your beard?
When we win the league, yeah?
When we win the league.
But yeah. Well, when we go down and we win the league too to come back up. But anyway, let's talk about Palace, because I was actually quite disappointed watching the Palace game. And then I realised, I listened to Rob Tovey interview after, and I started realising how young the players were. Like, we had 17, 18-year-olds out there. I was really disappointed in our first team players. I thought Chislett was awful. And I'm thinking, if he wants to push to get into the first team above McCormick, Rudy, and Asau, he needs to do things in them games to go, look, I'm here, I want to play. I was disappointed in Mabudi, but then Mabudi's coming back from an injury, so maybe cut him a little bit of slack. And I think I said to Danny before we came on air that with our youth team now, we're Asau's raised the bar. We're all looking at the ones below and going, right, where's the next Asau? Where's the one who's going to go, right, I want to be playing first team football at 17, 18, 19? And I never saw it. And I know Rob Tovey's brought it up and said they need to go out and reflect, come back and go, right, what could I do that's better? How would I get into first team football?
Well, the best result was that no one got injured. And that's where I'm judging games. Did you get injured? No, great. Well, that's fantastic. I basically sent you a message, Lee, just before the end of the game, because I've got to 2-0 and I found the game quite poor. Totally and utterly agree, though, on the first teamers. I was expecting them to really put themselves up there, bearing in mind they're playing who they're playing against. Mabude is absolutely rapid. He is Andy Clark on God knows what. He is super quick, but he just, again, as I said, he likens to Andy Clark. He does two things great, and you're like, just pass it or just roll the ball into the net and he'll slip over. It'll inevitably be offside. I'm very worried about the goalie, because Zaki was eccentric, possibly might be the word. Wasn't your main sort of just keep it calm. He just looked like he was a bit crazy. I think Bartley he was quite a big and quite strong. Whether he'll be able to do it on Saturday against some big Cambridge lads or another team, I don't know. But I think he's definitely got something to look at, considering that we are well in the hole. But my last point is, although you're right, when you're looking at the youngsters, we have to just keep remembering that 7 to 10, I think it is, of our better youngsters are going out playing regularly and getting some good quality game time. And I wonder whether those 6 or 7 who are on loan coming into play against Palace, whether that might have made a difference. But it wasn't a great game, but no one got injured. And to be honest, I'm not bothered. The only thing is, Lee, did you know about this thing that the four guys from that game have got to play on Saturday? Have you seen that today?
No.
So, you know the game, the Papa John's game? On Facebook. We'll go in shortly. There's a rule saying that four guys from that have got to play on Saturday.
So what four are they then?
Otherwise, we get a $5,000 fine.
We'll take the $5,000 fine then all day week. We'll raise money for it. Going back to your point, because we'll talk about it in a minute, sorry, Jack, before you talk about the Palace game, I just want to go back to Danny's point. I like Zaki for his eccentricness. It reminds me kind of a poor man's Hans Sagers.
very poor, mate. A skimpy fancy.
But do you know what I mean? He's all over the gaff. Like, ball come back to him and he went to kick it away and he freaking missed it.
It's basically a poor man's Hans Seegers, but someone who can't catch or basically do anything.
No, but I actually liked him. I liked him, and you never know, he might have been taking a bung. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, who knows? Well, not one here to cast aspersions.
But the other one
was there a poor man's Bruce Grobbelaar in the stand?
There's definitely not a poor man's Bruce
Grobbelaar, is it? I've seen a lot of comments regarding Bartley, and I think he's going to be a player. I really do. I like the size of him. He don't look like a footballer. He don't run like a footballer, but he's big. He's strong. He's held up. His hold up play was good. He ain't nowhere near first team football. We can't. Like, he needs a loan. But if we send him on loan, we literally have got one. Like, there's no strikers at the club. I think he done well at Cray. He does need to go out on loan for a season. And he needs to be playing proper men's conference, South Conference football, because 5-10 minutes of a game when we're winning, you can bring him on. But I wouldn't want to bring him on if we're losing 1-0 away to Cambridge and he needs to come on and score goals. I just don't think he's there. I'm guessing the club don't think he's there either.
No.
But yeah, go on, James. Sorry, mate. You can
It's the same thing. Danny made a good point of, like, our seven players who might have it, who might be the ones who'd come in, are probably out on loan already. And the thing is, do we risk bringing him back for a game in the Mickey Mouse Pizza Trophy that we're boycotting and we don't care about? The answer is no. But then it turns out if we have to have four of those people back on the bench, at least, I imagine. But it's just going to be Lawrence, Mabude, probably Darius. You know, the non-debutants going to be the four Saturday.
That's the one, Jack. Do they have to start or do they have to just be in the squad?
I need to find on the Facebook group, I don't want to name and shame someone or just name someone, but they were saying that there were four guys that have to play in the game after, and if not, it's a £5,000 fine.
Is that start or be in the squad?
I don't know, which is what I'm going to try and find out.
Because you had to have six. You had to have six from the squad previous game, so I'm guessing it's going to have to be in the squad.
Yeah, it should be.
Which, not being rude, Henry Lawrence is going to be start probably, or so. You're going to have.
What a rubbish cup. What a rubbish cup that you've got to have. I mean, it's no one likes it. No one cares until you get to the quarter final. And all they're doing is putting our club under pressure by saying, you've got to have this arbitrary number where the FA Cup don't have it, the League Cup don't have it.
Well, you're playing stupid under 23 games.
That's exactly. So and also, it's rubbish.
I watched it. How many stewards did they have there? Oh, I looked at the away, and Palace had about 50 fans, and we had about 100 stewards at the front, like marking them. It was like man-to-man marking from stewards to thing. And don't get me started on the stewards. I'll go back to Wigan.
Stewards got to be there on Saturday as well, you see, that's the thing.
They're a bunch of idiots, our stewards. That's another podcast to itself.
We can add that to the next bit.
How did Wigan fans get a flare in and start loads of trouble, and one of our fans got chucked out for asking the security guard why he's wearing his missus trousers? Anyway, my voice was going there. But... yeah, it's a stupid. To be fair, if you're going to win it, you need a slice of luck to get through the rounds to win it. And it's one of them, isn't it, really? I don't want to ham it up, but yeah.
Every time we talk about the Pizza Cup, you say ham it up, and it is more, and you need to come up.
Sorry. I
appreciate your apology.
It's getting cheesy. I get it.
There's not much room for joking about that topic. Come on.
Well, we've been rattling on now for a good few minutes. So have we got any final points on the games, or should we just wrap up or anything else?
Just get on with the podcast, for God's
sake. Right, we'll wrap it up there. So when we come back, we'll be discussing the club, the good old ticketing fiasco, the spelling errors, and do we think the people in charge should be in charge?
The Wombles Had a Dream podcast, by the fans, for the fans.
Right, we're back and we have an honest question. Do we think the club are capable of organising the club professionally? And are you confident of those in charge? Who wants to kick off that one? Danny, go on then.
Okay. Now, I'm not... By the way, I think the thing that the club are trying to do with the Geisley or Geisley, whatever you want to call them, I think is a really positive move. And I think it's great to be able to provide lots of other people to have the chance to play. However, considering the amount of money that the club have taken off people for debentures and season tickets, to basically make a decision and have not have even informed them is a little bit daft. And I've added it to the list, if you like, i.e. season tickets, which have been pretty poor in terms of giving out. I've still got my mate next to me, Nick. He's got two season tickets. None of them work. So at the moment, he's basically, he can more or less get someone in for free and no one knows. The copious amounts of spelling errors. Now, James is our resident English guru, but I'm pretty sure even you, Lee, could spell a couple of those words, although some of them are quite lengthy.
Comical today rather than commercial.
I mean, I've had my identity. They got my name wrong. And in terms of my login details, when I could buy tickets, a whole different person's, all their personal data, I had it, and they must have had mine. So you've got that. Lots of incorrect details on comms. The fact that we still, my mates, go out 10 minutes before the end of a half and still can't get a pint.
It's ridiculous.
And it's like, I remember when Andrew's talking about it with Ivor Hellas and getting to Christmas. But this is my real bugbear, my real worry, is that we've got these very, very basic errors. I don't think it's, I don't want to blame anyone at the club as such, because it obviously comes across that we're relatively low staff. We're also, in my opinion, we've probably got a lot of guys who are probably overworked if they are low staff. But we've got this massive bridging loan of $4.5 million that we've got to find before April, May. Which means that realistically, we're going to need some sort of investment or some sort of amount of support. And we're asking people in the general business world to sponsor the club, and they can't spell a word right. And it's just like, we're putting across the wrong message to the right people we need. And my concern is these people are making so many, and we're not talking about, like, we're talking about really basic errors, let alone with the stuff that we don't know about. I've lost a little bit of faith, and hopefully I'll get it back at some point, but I'm worried that £4.5 million we've got to find, whether the people we've got responsible are in a position to find that money, because that's a lot of money and not a lot of time.
So we brought this up many occasions, the ticketing stuff with the red shirt. I kind of understood it. That was rushed out, so people didn't look at something and it quickly get out to try and sell shirts. And most fans ain't going to really read it. They're just going to buy the shirt anyway. What's really annoyed me today was we're trying to sell hospitality, or we're trying to sell match day and match ball sponsorship packages to probably some mega rich companies who are going to go, look, come in and sponsor us. And we can't spell commercial. And that annoyed me more than the actual ticketing stuff. The ticketing stuff didn't really annoy me. I put posts out like people are wetting the beds about not being able to get their normal seat when, to be fair, what's the attendance at Guiseley going to be? 5,000, 6,000? It's going to be 2,000, 3,000 empty seats. You can sit wherever you want. You can, you know what I mean? Because you don't get your seat. I see where people are coming from, that the club just put it out there that they're selling their seats when people are paying for debentures for 10 years. And I can see why people are angry, but I think some people are angry because they can't wait to hit the club with a stick, which I'm usually one of them, to be fair. But on this occasion, I can see the good intentions behind it. We're trying to get new fans.
Is your stick broken, Lee? Is it?
Well, no. The thing is, I saw the intention of trying to get school kids in, giving free tickets away. And it's probably the only time we will be able to.
Yeah.
If it was the third round and we had Arsenal at home, Man U at home, Liverpool at home, and they went, it's a free fall, we're selling you debentures, everyone should be in uproar. But when there's going to be even selling the, giving away the kids' tickets, there's still going to be 1,000 to 2,000 empty seats. No, this ain't going to sell out. People think it's mad that the FA Cup game ain't going to sell out our first one at Plough Lane. But Plough Lane's been done. We've been there a lot now. And it's close to Christmas. It's Guiseley at home. We expected to win, even if we put out Tuesday's team. The uproar just didn't get it to me. The ticket prices for the Guiseley game is a bit ridiculous as well. We're asking £22, I think. Why not bring it down? But again, that has to be agreed with Guiseley. They maybe said, no, let's keep it at 20 because they're only going to bring 100 fans down. So let's just keep it at 22. There's no point making it £10 for them because they're only going to bring 100 anyway. But
my thoughts on the Guiseley fans, why didn't we just put the kids behind the other goal and let the section off a little bit for the Guiseley fans? Wouldn't that be much? They're not going to bring any fans. They don't have any.
The problem is, I don't think we can do that with the debentures again, is that people have debentures all around the stadium. I think that away end has to be the away end. I don't think we can move
them. Do they need all of it? Probably not.
They won't need all of it, but I don't know how the segregation goes with it. That's the problem.
That's the thing. If you think behind the goal, James, do you know when we walk around it, they've probably got the same that end. How do you divide those fans? Because they're all going to come out on an open concourse. Now, as you know, Wimbledon fans aren't exactly punch happy. We're one of the chirpier crew. But when you come out,
they're not going to be women fans. They're going to be kids and their parents from local schools.
I don't disagree with you on that.
That's even worse sometimes. I'd love to steam through some kids and mouthy children sometimes. You know what I mean? My own.
First game, you've got some hairy bloke from Guiseley just shouting at you.
Can you imagine? Yeah, that's not going to, you know what I mean? Some kids.
The thing is, though, Lee, is that it is, for me, and I, like I said, I'm with you on it. It doesn't make a huge impact on me, but I know for a fact I'm obviously behind the goal in the south stand, but I would have been a bit perturbed if I was like, oh, by the way, we've given you a ticket for this lot here. You can go and sit anyone else. I just felt that had they communicate, and again, but it goes back to the original thing. And this is, again, one of the concerns is we're a fan-owned club and we've got, at the moment, people who are not thinking about the fans first. We've got people who are just going, right, this is an opportunity, and are just basically saying, what you have isn't particularly important. We don't really care about that. We're doing this. But just consult.
Danny James, the one I've got with it is at the moment is that comms. We've brought up comms so bad, it's so bad. And I know you said we're threadbare. We ain't got many people maybe working for the club and stuff. But who is sending out the messages? Who's saying, yep, I've agreed that, send it out to the fans? Like the statement after, I found it quite insulting saying, we'll do it this way or like, do you know what I mean? We don't care kind of thing. It's like, we don't give a shit. We're going to give away the tickets anyway. Do you know what I mean? If you want your debenture, do it, but please don't do it because it means we can do more for the community instead of caring about our fans. I don't know what you two feel about that, about our comms and how things are written. I'm a bit stupid. I was like commercial. I was like looking at it thinking, is that right? I think it's wrong, but I couldn't tell at first. But I don't work for a club. I don't have to write a lot in English. I drive car for a living. But what do you feel on the comms and how they talk to the fans, like the apology after? I just found it insulting.
So, yeah. So I've screenshotted the message that came out yesterday. So it's, we'd like the opportunity to fill our stadium. It's not going to be sold out. To do this, we have reserved blocks specifically for schools and local clubs. It's a wonderful way, blah, blah. But people don't see that bit. They see, by the way, you can't sit where you normally want to sit. And that's all you're going to read because you can go, well, hold on. I bought that ticket. What they should have done is sort of thought about that when they did the season tickets in the first place. And thought, okay, well, let's leave some spaces where there's going to be gaps. They didn't do that. All the gaps are between groups of friends. So, you know, my mates have got three, and then there's a one space, and then there's another group of three people. That's where all the spaces are. But, yeah, on the comms, you know, they are trying to be nice. They do try and say things, but you can't go, we'd like to do this, and we've done it, and then have to apologise the next
Here
day.
Here it is! When we're live!
It's true. So, Jez, your point, it's like me saying to my missus, like, I'm going to go drink 10 pints. Like, and she goes, no, you're not. And I go, well, I've already drunk 10 pints now. Do you know what I mean? Like, I rung her, I've drunk 10 pints. Sorry, I've done that. It's like, well, it's too late now. You've done it. Now you're just ringing me to wind me up.
I'd like to go out. I've bought the taxis on its way.
And also, I think what don't know is where we've sold so many debentures, which is great, but we've sold them all over the. We've not said these two sections you can't buy debentures in because of things like this might have. We've so I can't think of anything worse now than going Guiseley and being surrounded by 20 children standing there like with their clappers. I can't think of anything worse because one, again, I have foul and abusive language at football. I say stupid things at football, not go above them. Like we've said, we don't cross lines, but there's a kid there who's eight and he sees some big fat bald guy swearing. He might think, oh, I don't want to come to football again. Like, but that's not my fault. Do you know what I mean? Sit him in the house. Yeah, he might love it. Might get involved, but I've seen things online. This is a question I've got for you two again, is should Joe Palmer go?
I mean, when we've got no one else, he represents like a step up in that he was doing this job before. He's not a volunteer, he's not a thing, but he's also an easy target that people don't like him. So one of the first posts I saw yesterday with about this was, don't let the door hit you on the way out, Palmer. And I did think originally there was my Ollie, which I wondered what he'd done.
Yeah, don't get me started on him.
But like you think, okay, well, if you're a central man who's run big clubs, don't make these silly mistakes then. You know, make sure we're not making silly mistakes, like spelling mistakes, like doing something and then apologising. But, you know, making a mistake and then making an instant U-turn does seem to be the way to run things at the moment.
But James, you're bang right, because I'm not being funny. This guy has run Shakhtar Donetsk. I don't know many other football clubs who are making this many basic cock-ups so early in a stadium and in a tenure. He's done great in terms of the fact that we've got there. I don't know enough about him, as I said before, or about the way that we work. But the challenge is that we are coming up to a very critical part of our past, our present, and our future. And the fact that we're going to need another push. We're going to need to find some money somewhere. we're going to potentially lose a player almost certainly in January. If we've got to find $4.5 million, it's going to be very tricky to get that amount of money without, and I don't know much. My mate was explaining to me the other day, and he might as well have been speaking French, but that we are coming to a point where we're going to have to put a lot of trust in the people who run our club to make big decisions. And at the moment, these guys or these communities or whoever they are not making great decisions frequently. And for a fan-owned club, unfortunately, we've got all the ambitions at the moment of a League One, possibly Championship, Plough Lane, blah, 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 blah. But part of our club is still in the non-league. And it is that balance between if we want to be professional, we've got to professionalise the whole lot. And if we don't want to go and kick on, we need to recognise we're a fan-owned club and we have to manage our expectations accordingly. But at the moment, we are a club that's pushing for high-end League One Championship, but our infrastructure and our abilities off the pitch are nowhere near it.
So you two might have a better understanding than I do. Like with the Don's Trust and stuff, who's accountable? Do we go to the Don's Trust and they go to Joe Palmer? Or does Joe Palmer just ignore what the Don's Trust say to him and he just does what he wants anyway? I don't know how the kind of tree works. Do you know what I mean? When you go into a business...
The top has got to be the Don's Trust because the Don's Trust...
But Joe Palmer's above that though, isn't he?
Well, I don't think he is. I think the Don's Trust is the people who basically are the people who run this club.
So you're saying the Don's Trust are accountable?
Well, I think the Don's Trust are part of the big jigsaw. I don't want to sound too much like David Brent. I'm trying to worm my way out.
No, but this is the thing. I've worked for some big company. I've worked for Canon, the photo company. I've worked for Goldman Sachs. And when you go into these companies, you see the tree. So you see the CEO. Do you know what I mean? You see them below them, the directors. You see them, boom, 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 and you get that whole big tree. I don't know how it works. We've got
Who owns the club?
PLC. We've got the PLC. We've got the Don's Trust.
The Don's Trust owns the club.
We don't own Trust as fans. Really. We're not really a fans club. We're not really a fans club.
Well, because who owns the club then?
At the moment, it seems like Joe Palmer owns the club.
Joe Palmer does not own the club.
He is, but decisions get made. I know we can't vote on everything, but Jesus Christ, this just went boom. Your debenture that you paid 600 quid for 10 years, you ain't having that seat for FA Cup. And then they forget that Wimbledon fans are very smart and will look into everything, which they did. Right. Again, I think it's a bit mountain out of molehill regarding it, but I can see why people were pissed. But they looked into the terms and conditions, and then there was terms and conditions 7.2 got brought up. I don't know the ins and outs, but you think someone like Joe would know all these details, and he just done, and then he balls the pants out of me listening to his 5 and 5 and stuff. And it's like, who's accountable? Who do we go to say, look, be better?
So I think it's more like a school than a company, isn't it? Because we've got, like, in a school, the head teacher runs the school. But if you want to sack the head teacher, you go to the board of governors. Yeah. And so the Don's Trust are more like the board of governors. We don't have a big boss. Like, there's no big shadowy boss. Most clubs would have a chief exec, but then have like an owner, you know, like a Ron Nodes or a Sam Hamm type figure who just can wield power whenever he wants. We don't have anyone like that. And I think if Joe Palmer was trying to do stuff like that, we'd see him off. But at the moment, he's giving away seats. So, you know, I don't know if we should hound him out just yet. He shouldn't be making mistakes.
Everything's all quiet, though. It's like we've got, the secretary has just stepped down. We've got a brand new secretary, which we know the name of, but we don't know anything about him. I don't know anything about him. I don't know if you two do. The secretary has just come in. Again, we wanted to speak to the guy who's come in as analyst, Will Daniels. Apparently, it was going to be a big piece in the programme or in the club. That's never happened. And now we haven't got to speak to him. So the fans know nothing about him, just his name. That got them brushed under the carpet with regards to him coming in. There's a new COO who was sending emails out regarding the ticketing information about the direct debits. We haven't even touched on the direct debits yet that haven't been coming out.
Have you read the names that for?
Have you seen the direct debits?
A number of fans who bought
Not taking their money. Yeah.
500 fans, Dan. Not just a couple. It's 500 people that might then turn around and go, I haven't got that money now and we're losing money. And there's a COO. I don't know. I've heard his name, but I don't know who he is or what he does. It just seems a lot of people love the power. They love bowling around the club. Oh, hello, Ollie Palmer. Hello, Woodyard. I love the boots you're wearing. Can I get a signed shirt? Yeah. But they don't want to take responsibility of doing a job for the club. We are a League One football club. We're not non-league football club anymore. Drinking in the bar with them and all that is great, but do a job that you're paid to do.
Someone I know, and I won't mention names because it's quite a serious thing, but he went for the job when we were advertising for like a financial officer.
Yeah.
And they couldn't get anywhere near his wages. He was willing to take quite a substantial pay cut to go and work for Wimbledon. and they could not match anywhere near that. So it might be the fact that we just can't get the best people to do the jobs we need them to do, which is worrying. And everything comes back to money again, which we don't have. And
so in a sentence, bearing in mind that we've got a very critical year, are you confident that what we have at the moment is the right group to get us where we need to be by the end or the start of next season, Lee?
No. And I'm getting quite annoyed with the Don's Trust at the moment. I think the Don's Trust is too pally with regards to the people who are on it. Xavier's done some great work with D-Lag and stuff like that, but is that taking the mind off the Don's Trust work now? Is Niall Cooper, we're hoping to get him on regarding him and Colin, because one's fan ownership, one's not, but he works for Fair Game. Is that taking his mind off the Don's Trust? We need people to be fully committed to Wimbledon and raising issues straight to the top to get things sorted. I know you said it in one word, Danny, and that's not one word, but no, I'm not very comfortable at the moment, and I'm sick of it, to be fair. I just want to be a fan. I want to go buy my merchandise, go on a stadium tour and watch Wimbledon win or lose games.
Yeah, we don't want to be
smaller than that.
We don't want to be thinking about the money. I hope for it like I do with the team. Just hope we can at least stay up on the last day on something better than goal difference. If we can get the money, however, even if we have to rob a bank or something, let's take it.
I like the robbing the bank one.
Go on, Dan.
Sorted. Bosh.
What's your answer? You're thinking, mate.
Do you want my answer?
Sorry, you're going to sit on that fence again?
It's got a lovely fence outside. I have concerns, but unfortunately, to be blunt, I don't know enough about how the club is run to know anything about it. But I am concerned, and I don't quite know, unless it's well above my station, how we're going to make £4.5 million of fresh money by May, with us spelling stupid stuff wrong, with us communicating poorly, and with us not selling part of our club off to pay for it, which I think is another reason why fans could get a bit conspiracy theory, and the fact that bad comms, all of a sudden Joe Palmer might push this agenda, which might mean more of the club is sold, and you get that argument, which it opens up, it creates a void that people like me can jump into. So concerned, not worried yet, but concerned.
Can I just say also, we've got a big month coming up with this, the Don's Trust elections. So we are going to have people going for the Don's Trust. Can I just say to people, like, make sure you read the manifestos. Don't just look at the name and think, well, I know him. I know he's a Wimbledon fan for 20 years. That's good. Look at what they've done with, like, their CV kind of thing. Look at their manifestos and what they want. Like, as I said, we had Freddie Flaxman last time who wanted to come onto the Don's Trust. He was an unknown quantity. I know we've had that before and we've been burnt before, but he has a great background, and it's people like that we need to get on the, like, as I said, Xavier, I thought he's brilliant for the Don's Trust, but maybe we don't know the ins and outs of it. I just see sometimes that our Don's Trust board are on Facebook saying silly comments and fighting with fans regards because they don't agree with it. And I get their fans at the end of the day, so they're going to come from a fan's point, but they've got to remember that they are actual Don's Trust board members as well. Do you know what I mean? I've seen silly comments about MK before from Don's Trust board members. Just leave that now. Yeah, worry about AFC Wimbledon. Worry about finding the money to finance the stadium. Worry about putting a good team onto pitch so that we can be competitive. And I think most people will be happy. I don't really want to see people on Facebook having to go others because they said that something in the shop wasn't right or saying it. Just leave that. Be better. That's all I want from a club at the moment. And as I said, we haven't touched on the direct debits. That's an absolute piss take that people are looking and going, wait a minute, I thought it was an automatic system. Now I owe £200 to the club that I thought come out. And some people are saying, do you not know your own finances? Some people don't. My missus runs all our finances, which ain't probably the smartest thing. But I'd have my money gone down the club shop in the bar before we know it. And the rent wouldn't be paid because I've just spent it in the Phoenix.
Yeah, I mean, no one goes for their direct debits every month, surely. You'd be mad.
Some people apparently do. That's what you should be doing, James.
Well, that's all people just saying, oh, you've done that, you're an idiot for not doing that. Well, no, rubbish. You know, no one looks at their bank account and goes, oh, they haven't taken this out this month. Oh, my car insurance was £1 cheaper. No, don't talk rubbish. That's the club's mistake. If you want to take money from people's bank accounts, you need to do that. Especially when, as you say, we've got a big load of money we need in a few months' time. Let's make sure we're collecting our money in, shall we? Rather than having to go around with a pint glass and ask people for a couple of quid.
And also, let's make sure that we sell the seats that we should be selling, and let's make sure that we have a system in place where people the fact that we haven't got even got a system now where you go, I'm not coming to the game, and it automatically uploads it. You could quite easily, months in advance, go, not going to that game, not going to that game, not going to that game. Also, incentivize it. Not being funny, I've bought a ticket. Yes, you can give it back, but some people are, you know, it might be Christmas, they might be missing two or three games. What's wrong with going, do you know what, give us your ticket and we'll give you a pint, or you're going to have
free pint.
Players. I mean, that's
free
not pint. Difficult.
It's easy. That's a great idea.
You're basically simple. Just, you're making it good for the fans to help. Yes, some fans who don't want it, you might go, do you know what, I want £1, I want £5, or I want a money off an FA Cup ticket or whatever it might be. I just think that sometimes as a club, and again, this goes back to that balance between non-league days, it's communities, it's buckets, it's putting money in. Yes, yes, yes. We're now in a football league and it's like, yes, these things are helpful. It makes the club what it is. But at the same time, it is massively holding us back and we're making lots of mistakes. And it would be helpful if we want to match the ambitions of us moving up and moving as a better, more sustainable, by the way, sustainable club. We need to maximise every pound that we can get, not relying on some bloke just coming in or some woman going, here's £1 million, get on with it. If you want to be sustainable, you've got to make every pound count.
To me, it's about egos and people need to drop their egos. Some fans have brilliant ideas. Dan, that was a great idea. But to me, it seems that some fans just don't get voices heard. They don't get listened to. I said, I went on a tour on Saturday and speaking to Pat, and lucky enough for me that, what's his name? Oh, Eric Samuelson was on the tour with us. Do you know what I mean? A great guy. And he was saying about the stands and he was saying about the box. There's one box that you can't see one of the goals. So yeah, it's not used. You can't see the. It will be once we build a bigger stadium, that box will then be allowed to be used. But there's one box that you can't use. So I said, why not open it up to people, kids with autism or ADHD or something like that, where they can have a safe space, they can see part of the game if they want to, and have it as a, like, open it up to people with disabilities and stuff so they can come and watch games for nothing. It can't be used anyway. We mentioned that before. We've mentioned about the junior dons, having a junior dons day where you ask all the junior dons to send in drawings of the players, and that's how they're put in the program on that day, how they get put on. Say there's a goal on the Twitter, that's how their goal comes up on the thing. You have a kid, 13 year old boy, who's part of the Dons, junior Dons, doing the commentary with Mikey T and them, and you have it just fully. You ask a 14 year old or a 12 year old girl, she asks the questions to Robbo after.
Well, they do get match, all that stuff.
Get it all involved, but they don't listen to the fans. They've just got their own egos and people just don't want to give up their own power. But, boys, do we got any last points?
One of the fans said, we should give away a load of people's season tickets and debenture seats to kids. Someone's brilliant idea on Saturday and they've gobbled that up.
That's going to go.
Smash it through.
What about the Wimbledon fans who have spent 600, 800 quid on season tickets?
They can bring their kids.
But what about St. Michael's school down the road? They've got 300 kids who come. Yeah, but they're all Chelsea fans. Yeah, but don't worry. Once we get them through the door, they'll come back every week.
I just hope, though, we get to a point soon where hopefully it won't be very long that we won't be moaning about this sort of stuff. And it isn't. I'm not this bloke at all. But the numbers are adding up regularly of issues and problems and concerns. And it's not these are now. This is now not stadium problems. These are now club problems. And that's my concern. So I don't even remember this when we were in non-league, we wouldn't make these many cock-ups. And now we're making loads. It's concerning. There we are.
And my thing is, who's accountable? That's my last word. Who's accountable? Stand up, be counted. If you're making mistakes, let's stop them. Let's get it right, because it is ridiculous now. James, last point on the matter before we move on.
No, I think you're absolutely right. I think that someone should be, and it is his job. It's the main man's job. But if he needs to bring out a sacrificial lamb and say, actually, it was this clown working in the office, you can't spell commercial, let's have him hung, drawn and quartered on the pitch.
Well said. Well done. Comical.
They call it a Saturday sacrifice. There we are.
Yeah. Right. When we come back, we're going to be discussing the Ryman Premier League final, that game against Staines.
The Wombles had a dream podcast. By the fans, for the fans.
Well, we're back for the last part of tonight's episode, and we're going to be discussing the playoff final in the Ryman Premier League against Staines. It was the 3rd of May 2008. Wimbledon won 2-1, but it was a tough game. We were 1-0 down for large parts of it. I think it's the biggest game that we've ever played, bigger than the playoff final at Manchester, bigger than the playoff final against Plymouth. I think if we had lost that game, I think we could have maybe not even been in the position we are now. I think we just stagnated in the non-league for a little while. I don't know what you boys think, but I was trying to...
I need to know why, because I don't agree with that. So you tell me why.
Because at that time, we would have lost to Fisher, Bromley, and then losing to Staines. I think it was Bromley. Was it Bromley we lost to? I know we lost to Fisher. That would have been three playoff finals in a row that we'd have lost. I think it's three. Could be one, could be two. I just think getting out of that run, and I think they sorted the leagues out, didn't they, as well then, and it made it quite tougher to get out of it. And we had one league in Conference South, went straight to the conference. We might not have done that then. So we might have lost a lot of players going up to Conference South and conference that would have left us from the wrong
room. Surely we might have gained a whole load as well, wouldn't we?
We might not have got Danny Kedwell in because we were in the wrong room.
Someone else in, wouldn't we? Potentially.
Well, but we don't know that.
Of course. I'm just saying, but
I still
I'm not arguing with you regarding the how big a game it was. I never thought, and I can't speak for you guys, I never thought when AFC Wimbledon started, we'd get back in the league. I was never, ever thought. No. I thought we would, like you said, Lee, we'd have a little bit of a bang, 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 bang. And I thought we'd get to the conference and I was quite happy in the conference. It was competitive, good teams. I just felt that as we went up, we wouldn't be high enough. And then winning in the final, in the playoff, I just felt that had we not have won that, whether we would have got into the league, I don't know. Because I think we spoke the other week, Lee, that it looks like it's getting harder and harder to get back in. And even today, they're talking about the Football League merging with the National League just to make it threes and threes to make the transition not so strong. But I don't necessarily think it was as big a game, but definitely one of the most important in the history, for sure. Jay?
I don't know if you can hear me. You've massively cut.
Yeah, we can.
I would say, the playoff final at Manchester, I was there. It was amazing. That was an amazing day, right? But it was a boring game. It was an awful game. And it went to penalties, and the penalties were good. But the fact that I think the Staines game was a brilliant game with the big comeback and all that, I think that's also going to help it be like a big thing in terms of memories, isn't it? Because nobody remembers a 0-0 that goes to penalties, but you remember the fact that it was a stunning comeback to get out of the league, to get into the thing, and that's why it's a real turning point.
For me as well, like Mark De Bolo, James, but for me it was a good thing for Mark De Bolo, went on loan, couldn't get in the squad, then come back and then scores like the free kick that wins us the playoff final.
Did he come back just for that game, didn't he? Or something daft like that?
I think he might have been on the bench the game before or something. But he come back and he played in that game. But I was looking through the squad earlier, the team. So we had James Pullen in goal.
Okay.
Luke Garrard played for us. Mickey Haswell was our left back. Chris Hussey was on the bench, couldn't even get on. Didn't come on. Andy Little was on the bench for us in goal. We had Marcus Gow, Jason Goodlife.
Yeah.
Steve Ferguson played.
Steve Ferguson.
Louis Cumbers, what a player he was as well, by the way.
He was good. Where did John Main. Was he QPR or something like that, on loan?
Yeah, he was on loan from QPR. John Main and Anthony Finn started. They had Richard Butler, Mark Nowotki, and who's the other one they had from us? Dave Sargent.
Really?
And it was just, and we talk about ticketing issues. Trying to get a ticket for that game was an absolute joke as well, because Staines obviously had a few fans and they had a few. But yeah, it was a nightmare to get tickets. But Nick McDonald was one of my favourite AFC Wimbledon players. No? Can't remember him?
I won't lie. I was on a stag do. So I don't remember. I didn't go to the final, which was annoying. I just remember constantly getting updates because I think it was before. It was before the Soccer AM stuff. So I was like, can't quite get hold of anything. But yeah, it was massive, massive game, massive result. And a really welcome get out of that league. And it's amazing, isn't it? Like we talk about momentum. You got one league and all of a sudden, another one and then another one. It's sort of, it's awesome.
But for me, like Nick McDonald was our Ollie Palmer. He was our Danny Kedwell. He was a big lump. He come on, he bullied them. Maybe there should have been a free kick on their keeper. and it wasn't given, and we scored the goal to go on. And I said, I think you're right with momentum. It just makes it, it was just going up to the Conference South and then going up again.
Which so what was your day like then? Come on, talk us through it, because I obviously weren't there. What was your day like? What did you do? How did you go about it? Did you organise like a mini bus at 7 in the morning and got there at 8:30?
No, I don't remember before the game. I remember I had my ex-wife was with me then, and she was there, and I just remember just leaving her and just jumping over the thing onto the pitch, celebrate, going mental. I don't think I went out in the evening. I think I was just drained. I was just mentally drained, knackered. So I think I just went home after and had a curry. But I just remember the game just queuing up to get in. Everyone couldn't get tickets for it. We end up getting tickets. I think it was like black market tickets you had to get as well. So it was just a bit of a nightmare. But why was you not our biggest game ever then, Danny?
I was on a stag do, mate, I think. I don't know if it was a stag do or whether I was at uni. I can't remember. No, I think it was a stag do. So I just remember literally being like, and I think it was after the Ryman Prem that I started getting properly into it. Like, you were into it, but it wasn't like the big like rah. Whereas like now I'm properly into Sport Wimbledon and I'm you know doing this and all sorts of stuff.
Fair weather fan.
I was a Carlton fan, they used to call me. Carlton Fairweather.
If people are wondering why it's just me and Danny talking about it and James ain't jumped in, we're losing James at the moment, unfortunately. He's having some technical issues.
He's got so much great insight that he's run out.
Yeah, we haven't just got rid of him. We haven't just binned him off. Because I was going to say, I think you mentioned you was on a stag do. It's funny because I was, for the Manchester game, I was on a stag do in Spain, but I ended up getting a flight back just to watch the playoff final. That's what a dedicated fan I was. And you think, I don't know where your stag was, but I'm just guessing you could have come back. But
definitely. We were in the UK.
Disappointing from you.
I know, mate. Well, I was a different man back then, Lee. I was all education and, you know, trying to spell really complicated words and all that kind of jazz.
What, like commercial?
Trying to, you know, commercial, that kind of stuff. Let's see. James, are you there?
I'm back.
He's back.
Oh, this is
sexier than ever.
Where do you live, James?
Peterborough.
Yeah, they haven't got a Wi-Fi up there yet. They're still using dial-up.
That's the problem, yeah.
Yeah.
So we were talking about, obviously, going to the Ryman Premier League playoff game. Obviously, you went.
No. I live in Sheffield.
You want a stag do as well, were you?
No. I live 250 miles away, mate. Could go.
No excuses.
Did you buy into it, James, the same that you think is it as massive a game as what Lee's saying, or do you feel that we would have kind of gone up the leagues again after?
I didn't hear all your question now, I'm sorry, but I'd say it's a very big game. Let's go for it. Let's do it to what sliding doors moments. If we don't do it, you said it might have had this, might have that. Let's go for the fact that it did happen and we did then go up through the conference and up into the league. So let's say it was the biggest game ever.
Wow, romantic.
For me, it's bigger than the playoff final against Plymouth and the Plymouth final against Luton. I just think if we were awful in that game as well, we could have lost that game 2 or 3-0. I remember Butler having a couple of chances against us. What a player Butler was as well. He always looked knackered for like first minute in a game. He looked tired, but he was always going to cause us problems. Marcus Gow and Good Life at the back. Good life, good life, good life. Jason, good life. What a player he was as well. But yeah, I think if we had lost that Ryman Prem final, yeah, I think we'd have struggled. But it's a weird one because Staines have really struggled since then. I don't know if you two know much
Marcus
about
Gow managed them.
He did after leaving. Yeah. He'd done our reserves. Then I think he went to Staines. And now he's a Brentford ambassador.
Yeah, I saw him on the telly the other day.
Yeah, he just wanted to get into Brentford for nothing, didn't he? It's true. It's like, remember that time we played Ebbsfleet in the FA Cup but John Fashion had come down?
I remember the West Ham game and Vinnie Jones just miraculously turned up and started being a pundit. I was like, what are you doing here?
He didn't play West Ham, but yeah, I know, I love it. They all come out of woodwork, don't they, at one point. But yeah, for me, It was our biggest game. And I said, you look through that squad then, there's some real players in there that you think, well, maybe they could have made it a little higher. I do wonder why some non-league players do. I know they probably make as good money playing non-league because they get paid 500 quid a week and they work as well. Why they don't step up? Like I said, going for it, I know Marcus Gale did, but John Main, how did he never make it until he got in the league with us? It's a goal scoring machine at Tunbridge.
Did he play? Main played conference for us, didn't he?
Yeah, and then when I don't think he got any higher than the conference.
No.
Southport, he struggled in that first game. But you're looking at the only one in that squad, and he didn't even play, was Chris Hussey, who's had a really good Football League career.
Maybe that's just the thing, mate. Maybe, like you said, it's sort of these, and again, it's very similar to like Kevin Cooper when he first came to us. It was, you know, he was on trial at Sutton, scored some goals, and it's just people go, do you know what? They're going to just drift and play their game, and they get the opportunity to play for Wimbledon for a couple of years and go, right, that, do you know what? That was fantastic. I move on to, you know, painting, decorating, or lawyer, or whatever else they're doing.
Another one in that squad was Luke Garrard, who's having a really good managerial career now, which I never saw at the time because he was always a little bit flash, always a little bit like, do you know what I mean? His air had to be perfect and stuff like that. He was a bit of a playboy, or he had the playboy look. I don't want his missus to hear this and think he was a playboy at Wimbledon, and he wasn't. But do you know what I mean? I've just got him in dead trouble.
Whoever goes on a bit in the back bar stays in the back bar.
Rolling around Poonan R thinking he's the man. But do you know what I mean? I never see him in Poonan R. But he's doing a really good managerial career at Bourne Wood. Nearly got him into the league a couple of years
ago. Are there any other ex-Dons in management? I know Goodliff was here. Was he at Sutton?
I think he's still at Sutton.
As a backup, number two. You've got Goodliff, Garrard. Anyone else? I can't think of many others who might have played for Wimbledon who've gone on and done okay management-wise.
No.
Obviously, hardly.
The one we're going to be speaking to him hopefully soon, Ross Standen. Is it Standen? Ross Standen. He's a Whitehawk manager who's non-league. Whitehawk.
Okay.
I don't know if there's any others that went on to do.
I know Glenn Schimmel became a goalkeeping coach somewhere. Is it Millwall?
Bromley and Millwall, I think.
Yeah. I can't think of many others. There we are.
But yeah. Well, if we want, we've still got a little bit of time left, so we could discuss Cambridge on Saturday if you want, boys.
James, go first. We've got you here. Go. Go, Cambridge. Go, go, go.
Before we lose them again.
So, weren't we at whether our team selection is going to be heavily influenced by who has to play, given the bloody Papa John's trophy. If that's the case, then we know that Shocker's going to play. We know that Lawrence is going to play. Mabuda is going to have to play. But if that's not the case, then I don't think he's going to do very different to the team that played against Wigan. I think that is pretty much the strongest team we've got. I think, as I said at the start, he's going to go with this idea of finishes, you know, substitutes and in old money. We've got to have more to bring on. He's got to leave off McCormick or Rudy or someone to bring on and change the game, because bringing on Chislett doesn't inspire me. You know, he tries hard, he's all right, but he's not going to change the game. We need to have someone who can come on. That's all you've got to say.
I think we have to be looking at 3 points on Saturday. Cambridge lost 4-1 to Shrewsbury the other day. They've lost to Gillingham.
Did they draw yesterday to Doncaster?
I don't know how they got
on. Yeah, they drew yesterday.
But I know they haven't had it their own way and they haven't been great. So I'd be looking for 3 points. My only worry, again, I keep saying it all the time, I get so much stick for it, is where are the goals going to come from? Because Asell and McCormick need to score a couple now, because Presley, he ain't a goal scoring machine. But I fancy us, though. I said we'll win either 3-1 or we'll draw 1-1.
Wow.
Well, we won 4-1 last time I went there, and even Aziz scored an absolute cracker. We won 4-1 and he scored the fourth. It was lovely. So if Mabuda's the new Aziz, and so he's better than Aziz, let's put money on him. Mabuda to come on and score.
The last time I went to Cambridge, we drew 0-0 and Akinfenwa missed a penalty. I think it was Cambridge. But I think if we keep Houlihan quiet, because I think he's a wonderful little player, if we can keep him quiet, I think we'll be fine. I think James is bang right. I don't think he'll play the exact best starting 11 we've got. I think he'll leave a couple of, maybe even a Sal. Maybe just give a Sal a bit of a breather and give him half an hour at the end to run riot. But I think he's definitely going to keep your card up his sleeve. But these are the games that I feel like we are better prepared than normally. We always used to be rubbish against people at the bottom and okay at the top, and we kind of fumble our way along. I think we're going to do well on Saturday. If we play to our potential, I think we're going to win 2-2 or 3-1. And I think it's going to be a Presley header, and you've heard it here first.
I love the way that you pretend you know who Houlihan is, just so you could say his name.
Wes Houlihan is brilliant. He's one.
Wes Houlihan.
Yeah, you know the guy who used to be at Norwich, and
I just said that
he was an Irish player, and everyone used to love him. And then he basically was going to retire.
If he's
and then
he dropped that low, he can't be that good.
Isn't Norwich near Cambridge? Am I going completely mad?
It is. Yeah, it's on the way.
It's not
Norwich.
If he lives in between,
near Norwich, is it apart from Ipswich? No.
Yeah. But yeah. I want to say James's point is that Aziz is better than Moody.
Oh,
you reckon?
100%. I'd rather
have Aziz over Mabude
all day long. No. And he's scoring goals for Dartford in the conference.
Mabude scored that goal against in the first day of the season, first game at Plough Lane. He scored that lovely goal. I never saw Aziz do anything. The best thing he did was the goal away at Cambridge, which was a much worse version of that goal.
But he does more in a game than Mabude. This is what I mean. The players this year, they score one good goal and that's it. They're like Wimbledon legends for life.
But Lee, we've only seen Mabude for 10 games, haven't we?
Yeah, and I've been impressed once.
Okay, well,
I love Aziz.
I've got a very quick question.
Aziz was on fire.
Don's player.
Ever?
Is Mabude quicker than Aziz?
Yes.
Andy Clark, mate. You said Andy Clark earlier.
Sonic the Hedgehog.
He was a proper sprinter.
Why are you saying, yeah?
He was quick.
Andy Clark's a quick.
Any other super quick Dons out
Andy
there?
Andy Clark. John Mayne was pretty quick.
Yeah.
Gareth Angel for his lightning, mate. They could just hack him down to stop him.
Yes.
The one, I can't believe you didn't bring up the one, Dan.
Oh, John Hartson.
Steve Ferguson.
Steve Ferguson was.
He was all pace. One point, he'd just run. He didn't even have the ball. He'd just be running.
So we've got the quickest we think could be Andy Clark or John Goodman or Mabude. Is there anyone slower who's played for Wimbledon than Warren Cummins?
I remember Warren Cummins. He's another one who blocked me off Twitter. He had a right guy at me on Twitter. He used to take the piss out of me. Because there was a joke on Twitter once. He said that, what time we got to go down for dinner? And I said, well, you want to set off now because it takes you so long to get downstairs.
Oh, that's horrendous.
He used to give me a lot of stick for being fat on Twitter.
So Warren Cummins is the slowest, we think. And we reckon that the quickest is going to be...
Who's the slowest in our current squad?
Who's the slowest in our current squad?
Yeah.
I think I would have said Hartigan a year ago, but I don't think it is anymore. I think it might be Woodyard.
Darius.
Oh, yeah, Darius, yeah. Yeah, actually, yeah, that's a good shout. And who's the slowest on this podcast, you think?
I'd beat you all in a race.
Of course you would, mate, yeah. Yeah, to the bar.
We didn't even mention the bar. What a joke that is at the moment, anyway.
So are you going Saturday, Lee?
I wanted to, but I can't. I just had my brakes done in my car.
James, are you Saturday going to the game?
Right, so I'm supposed to be going. My dad is now not going. Sorry, you've just come back like you've been gone for the last few minutes.
you've not missed anything.
I'm supposed to be going on Saturday, yes. But we'll see how it pans out. My dad was going, now he's not going. We'll see. But it's not far from me, Cambridge, so I do want to go. And I said we won last time.
We've got a mini Jolly Boys out in. We've got mini Jolly Boys out in. So it's like five or six of us going to get the train down to Peterborough from the Democratic Republic of Croydon. So we'll be going en masse, not tooled up, obviously. Just going to have have some tins, probably, and maybe some sort of prawn sandwiches. Cool.
To be fair, Cambridge is a lovely, lovely city. I know a few of my boys are going up there. They've got some pubs lined up with some good watering holes. I wanted to go, but I just had brakes done on my car that's cost me money. So the missus said, I have to work now.
And you've got the kids, yeah.
And she's the boss.
Hear, hear.
All right.
Is this going out on the show?
This is going out. Right. That's it from us tonight. Thank you very much for joining me, James. And Danny, I'll see you next week.
Goodbye, everybody.
Cheers.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Wombles Had a Dream podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Wombles Dream and on Facebook at the Wombles Had a Dream. Get involved. By the fans, for the fans.